Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن شاء الله today we will continue the talk on Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه. And we'll try to complete the topic. Tell you the truth, it's very difficult to compact such a rich life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. This is the fifth session, and even the last session that I'm trying to do, I know I am compressing it too much. Other topics we like to cover as well, the lives of the Sahaba. We'll try to just really, even the main events of the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq, we'll just barely touch it today. I know it's not justice to discuss the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an in such a short period of time. But unfortunately, we have to draw the line somewhere. And I will really suggest every one of us here, if they would go back and read the Seerah of Abu Bakr Siddiq, they can pick, there are many books available on the life of Abu Bakr. Read it of your own, inshallah. And we can always discuss anything from the life of Abu Bakr. We are always here, and inshallah we'll see from there. But I would suggest each and every one of you here go back and read the books on it. And if you like, I can share the names of the books after the session if anybody is interested. So last week we talked about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's life until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they made the last Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after the Hajj was completed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came back to Medina in Dhul Hijjah, 10th year of the Hijrah, and the next year, the 11th year of Hijrah, the Muharram and Safar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stayed in Medina, and he ordered to prepare an army to go against the Byzantines to head towards Al-Balqa and Palestine. And he made Osama bin Zayd radiallahu an as the leader of that army. And there's a variation of reports that talk about the age of Osama bin Zayd radiallahu an. Some of them mention 17, some mention 18, and some mention 20. Years of age, whichever number was it from 17 to 20, it was a very young age, especially thinking from the perspective of the Sahaba who were under him, under his command at that time. So there was some of the Sahaba actually, they had some concerns about the age of Usama radiallahu anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about their concerns, and it is mentioned in Bukhari that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them when he was sending the army, he said, when upon the criticism about his leadership, He said, if you are criticizing Usama's leadership, you used to criticize his father's leadership before. By Allah, he was worthy of leadership and was one of the dearest persons to me. And now this, Usama, is one of the dearest to me after him, which is Zayd radiallahu anhu, he's referring to. And while they were preparing, the Ansar and Muhajirin, they were preparing the army under Usama bin Zayd, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fell sick. And that was, when he fell ill, that was his last illness before he met his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He got sick, and at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got so ill that he was not able to come out for the salah. And he commanded Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu to lead the salah in his absence. And in the beginning, it was said to him that Abu Bakr is very soft-hearted. And when he recites Quran, he cries. And he will not be able to lead the salah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to insist that Abu Bakr is the one who should be leading the salah. And Abu Bakr continued to lead the salah after that. And while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ill. And one of the times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out with the help of Abbas and another person, which was mentioned in the other hadith, as the other person was Ali radiallahu anhu. And with their help, he came out and he went to Salah. And when Abu Bakr felt that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, he tried to move away so he can lead the Salah. And Rasulullah allowed Abu Bakr, and he told him to continue to lead. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the help of Ali and Abbas radiallahu anhu, he sat next to him and he did the Salah with Abu Bakr. Now, and after a couple of days on the Monday, the day that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away in Rabiul Awwal, he actually got a little better, and he came after Salatul Fajr, and the way he looked much better, and Sahaba, they thought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recovered, and so they start going back to their normal routine. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he went to Aisha radiallahu anha, and he said, it seems like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is recovering. He has recovered. So he went to one of his wives who was in Al-Sunnah, one of the places outside the Medina. So he went out there, who was a bint Kharija. And while he was there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's health got deteriorated, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. As I'm saying, I am trying to compress all the many ahadith that are mentioned about this whole story, but because of the sake of the time, I am trying to compress it, and inshallah many of the things we have already heard in many other talks, so we can move forward. So when since Abu Bakr was not in Medina when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, it was one of the biggest calamity that can happen to the Muslim ummah. As Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu referred to it, as he said, the best day of his life was when Rasulullah entered into Medina, when he migrated to Medina. And he said the worst day of the darkest day of the Medina was when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away and he met his Lord. So when this incident happened, the Sahaba, like Uthman radiallahu anhu, as the reports mentioned, he really became silent. He could not speak. Ali radiallahu anhu, he hid in the house of Fatima radiallahu anha. And when he came to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, Umar, the variation of reports talk of, one of them says he took out his sword. And he said, anyone who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he will chop off his head. And other reports talk like this, that that he, you can tell that he's kind of not talking in his senses. And he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for sure has not died. He went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like Musa did. And he will come back and he will chop off the head, the feet and the arms of, or the legs, hands of some men when he comes back. So when Umar, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he came back and he saw Umar is talking to the people like this. And he was like talking out of anger and distress, Umar. So Abu Bakr asked him to sit down. And Umar was not listening. He was continuously talking. And then Abu Bakr Siddiq, he started talking, he glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, he recited the ayah, which was actually revealed after Ghazwatul Uhud. As we mentioned last session, in Ghazwatul Uhud, one of the rumors was spread out among the Sahaba was that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was killed. And the Sahaba got very distressed at that time as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in Surah Al Imran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ رُسُلٌ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not but a messenger. And messengers have passed on before him. أَفَأَيْنَ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ أَنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and if he has died, he died, or he has been killed, are you going to turn on your heels? وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَخِبَيْهِ وَلَنْ يَدُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And whosoever turn on his heels, meaning turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died or been killed, then they cannot do any harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he was reciting this ayah, Umar radiallahu an, he could not stand on his feet anymore. And he felt as if this ayah was just revealed. Because for him, he was continuously saying as if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not going to die. And some of the reports mentioned, like, what they meant by that was that he will stay until all of them die before. So, but when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he recited this ayah, it became very clear. And he also, Abu Bakr Siddiq also mentioned to Umar and the Sahaba over there. He said, whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Muhammad has died. And whoever used to worship Allah, Allah is ever living and will never die. And then after that, he recited this ayah. So it became very evident for Sahaba. Now, this was, we can think of any calamity we can think of in our life, if we compare to this calamity of passing away Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any of our individual or as an ummah calamity is nothing compared to passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's like we should remember always that any hardship we go through, think of this. There could be nothing bigger than this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. And when this happened, now Rasulullah was not even buried yet. Among the Sahaba, they started thinking of who will be the leader now. They have not buried Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Ansar, they gathered in Saqifah Bani Sa'idah. And over there, they started discussing who should be the Amir of the Muslims. And they were gathering and they were thinking of making Sa'ad bin Ubadah, who was the leader of Khazraj, to make him the Amir after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. When Umar radiallahu an, he found out that they are gathering there, then Abdul Rahman bin Auf and Abu Bakr and Umar, all three of them went to Saqifah Bani Sa'idah and to find out what's going on over there. And when they went there, the discussion was going on that they have to pick Amir. And even one of the suggestions was there should be one Amir from the Muhajirin, one from the Ansar. And Umar, he went with, as the report mentions, that he had a prepared talk in his head, that he wanted to speak. to the Ansar about what was going on. But Abu Bakr, he silenced him, and Abu Bakr started talking. And the way Abu Bakr talked, as Omar says, that he said everything that he was thinking to speak about, plus he added more. So Abu Bakr covered everything that Umar was thinking to speak with the Ansar at that time. And this is the, as we will see down the road, inshallah, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was a very knowledgeable person. He had a very deep understanding of Islam, Quran, and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he spent very close time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was well prepared for the job that he was going to be taking soon after the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq talked, and then after that, there was some discussion was going on where the Amir should be, and they were trying to have the Amir from one from Ansar, one from Muhajirin. And then Abu Bakr reminded them of something, that of the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Arabs, they will not accept the leadership of anyone but one from the Quraysh. Now, it is an interesting thing to understand here. It does not necessarily mean that the Amir has to be, or the Khalifa of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be from the Quraysh. It was more of a that the leadership will not be accepted at that time over there from anyone but the ones from the Quraysh. And this is the way that the scholars have understood. There is a difference of opinion about this issue. Some of them say that it has to be from Quraysh. But the issue here is that the people would have not accepted any leadership but one from the Quraysh. So this is why it was important, and Sahaba understood well, and they accepted this. And Abu Bakr not only reminded us of this, but when he was speaking, one of the things that he did was he reminded the Ansar about the things that Allah and His Messenger mentioned about Ansar, the good things about Ansar. And when that was said, Abu Bakr Siddiq said that he was given two names to pick the name, pick the Khalifa the Rasul from those two. And he selected Umar and Abdurrahman bin Awf radiallahu anhuma as the ones who among which the Khilafah should be transferred to. And when he said this, and Umar says that he liked everything that was said by Abu Bakr except the last thing what he said, because he did not want to be the one who would be taking this burden. So when he said this, right away Umar extended his arm towards Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he gave him the bay'ah. And he says that I give you the oath of allegiance to become the Amir of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, or the Khalifa the Rasul, meaning the successor after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he did this, all the sahaba from the Muhajireen and Ansar, they started giving him the bay'ah. Now, so that was the bay'ah, the oath of allegiance that was given to Abu Bakr here. There are some of the reports that discuss, and some of the historians, they sometimes discuss the issue like Ali and Zubair radiallahu anhum. They were not present at the time of the bay'ah, as if they have some disagreement with Abu Bakr. Most of the reports are very clear that Ali radiallahu anhu and Zubair, both of them gave the bay'ah to Abu Bakr. Some of them say the very same day, some say the next day, the next day they gave the bay'ah. Now, there is a report that talks about that Ali radiallahu anhu, he gave the bay'ah after 6 months when Fatima radiallahu anha passed away, and that bay'ah was given as a more of a renewal of the bay'ah. Not that he was giving the bay'ah for the first time, as all the reports talk about the subject. So this first bay'ah that was given at Saqifa Bani Sa'ida was the bay'ah that was given by the Ansar and Muhajirin, and then the next day it was the bay'ah that was given by all general people. And this is from there, it is extracted that there are two kinds of a bay'ah that when it's given to a Khalifa. One is the one that was for appointing the Khalifa, and second one which is done by the general people, that is actually an obligation on all the people. So first one actually appoints the Khalifa, and the rest of the next second bay'ah that is given by the people, it's a general bay'ah that is supposed to be there, and it is an obligation on the people to give to the Khalifa. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away on Monday, and Sahaba got engaged, they got engaged in nominating the Amir, while Ali, Abbas, and the family of Abbas, they were busy with preparing the funeral of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the washing the body and preparing the funeral. The body of Rasulullah, as the reports mention, that even though he passed away Monday, he was buried on Wednesday. So it took them 3 days and two nights to bury Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that this is the ikram of any janazah or dead body that has to be in Islam, has to be buried as soon as possible. When it came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best creation, he was not buried for 3 days and two nights, because there was a more important issue was out there, which was it has to be an Amir over the Muslimin, who is ruling by Islam. And this is what they did. Now, after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he took this job of Khalifat al-Rasul. So Khalifat al-Rasul means successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we can see later on that when Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu later on became the Khalifa, instead of making him Khalifat al-Khalifat al-Rasul, they chose the word Amir al-Mu'min, because every time a new successor is coming up, there will become a very long change of the word Khalifa, Khalifat al-Khalifat al-Khalifat, on and on. So they chose the word Amir al-Mu'minin at that time. But Khalifat al-Rasul means he was a successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning now that was his job to implement the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Rasulullah was doing. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away and Abu Bakr became the Khalifa, he came across another big calamity. So Abu Bakr, if you remember the very first talk when I was talking about his description, he was lanky, meaning his clothes, when he used to tie the izar, used to fall off completely, he used to slip down, and he used to cover his ankles. He used to look older than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, physique-wise, even though he was younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But look at the stances that he took. First of all, right away, he is the one who understood it well, who digested it well, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and he gathered the Muslims, and he gathered Ansar and Muhajirin. And after that, another calamity happened. Most of the Arabs at that time, most of the Arabian peninsula, they actually apostate. They were going away, they were leaving Islam. And now, instead, at that time, what Abu Bakr did was, he ordered the army of Usama that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared. And he said, this army has to go. And many of the Sahaba, they came to Abu Bakr, and they said that you should rethink about this. We should not do this, because it will become very difficult. Who is going to protect the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and the Muslims in Medina, if you send this army? Because those murtadeen, the apostates, and the munafiqeen got together, and they were thinking about attacking the Medina now. And there were some of the mushrikeen, they rejected that they were going to give, not the mushrikeen, the apostates, that they were going to give the zakah to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. In these such situations, when it was going on, Abu Bakr insisted that he has to send the army. And the Sahaba, even Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, came to Abu Bakr and he said, we should not do this. The reason seemed very clear to them, but Abu Bakr's head was, and he came back to the Sahaba and he said, this army was prepared by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one who assigned Usama, because they had issues about Usama being the leader, and the army to leave at this time to fight the Byzantine, the Roman Empire at that time. And the results of this army going out and fighting the Romans became very evident in the favor of the Muslims. The results were very became very clear when later on in the future, when we see that when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he sent the army, and it did a couple of things. One was there was a lot of murtadin or apostates. They got scared of it. They thought of this as there is an army still going to fight the one of the superpowers of that time, which is the Byzantine. And that actually helped Muslims. That's one thing. But still, there were people who were going or who did attack or were going to attack Medina. So Abu Bakr not only sent the army, but on top of it, he started preparing to defend the Medina as well. And he sent out some of the Sahaba. But before I talk about that, I want to talk about a little bit about the army of Usama more. That what Abu Bakr did here was, first, he asked Usama his permission if Umar ibn Khattab can stay behind. And there was a reason behind that. By doing so, he is not only showing, even though he was the Khalifa of Rasulullah, he could have just asked, he could have ordered. But he wanted the army that was under Usama, and they already had these kind of issues that he's very young, 18 or 20 years old, why is he supposed to lead the army? So he is showing that even though Abu Bakr is much older than him, he is a Khalifa of Rasul, and he is still asking for the permission of Usama that if Umar can stay behind. That's one thing. Second thing he did was, when the army was leaving, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he started walking with Usama, when Usama was mounted on his mount. And he was asked, Abu Bakr Siddiq was asked, why doesn't he mount? And he said, he should get the ajr basically, of some of the dust in his feet. That's one thing. But at the same time, he was showing who is the commander of the army here. So Abu Bakr was a very knowledgeable person. He knew how to deal with the people at that time. So then after that, he came back and now he started preparing to defend the Medina. And he sent out some of the big Sahaba on the outskirts of Medina to get the news about if any of those Murtadin are coming to attack. And while this was happening, Abu Bakr, he sent out messages to still some of the people who were out there, who were Muslim, the tribes, to come in Medina. So many tribes, they came into Medina, and it was filled with the soldiers who came to fight along with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he not only, when he found out there are some of the Murtadin, they were coming in, he sent the army who fought with them, and they repelled the armies that were coming in. And also Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he himself, he went out to fight against the Murtadin at that time. And Sahaba told him that you should stay behind, because if you, something happens to you, there may not be any more Islam left. Because they saw really how Abu Bakr was dealing with the Muslims at that time, how he kept the unity of the Ummah. But he insisted and he went and he fought along with the people against the Murtadin. And about the Murtadin, as I mentioned, some of them were rejecting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others, they came along with, they were rejecting the zakah. The one who were rejecting the zakah, when Abu Bakr was going to fight, Umar came to Abu Bakr and he said that you are going to fight the people who has said La ilaha illallah, who say La ilaha illallah, and they pray. Are you going to fight against them? About which Rasulullah said, the one who said La ilaha illallah and they pray, their blood and their wealth has been protected. And he missed the part of the hadith that talks about except the one that in which there is other opinions actually. And this was the opinion regarding this issue that Abu Bakr reminded Umar actually about fighting the one who is rejecting the zakah. And when he continued on saying this, and he said, if there are two different narrations, one says that even if they used to give a small goat in the zakah, and they're not giving me, he will fight. Another report says, even if they used to give a small piece of rope in the zakah, and they don't give it to me, I will fight against them. And he considered them as the murtaddin, as the one who have rejected the deen. And he fought against them as well. And the another group of people who was uprising at that time was Musaylama al-Kadhab, who was a false prophet, and another false prophet, Ulayha. And they were gathering the armies against the Muslims as well. Tulayha's army was defeated, and Tulayha actually, he ran away. And he ran to Assyria, and later on he became Muslim again actually. He became a Muslim. While Musaylama Kadhab, he is the one against which Rasul Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he sent the army. And this battle at Yamama that happened, there were a lot of the kuffar, about report says about 10,000 were killed, and there were about 500 or 600 Muslims also got the shahada. Now, when this army came back, and Musaylama, to mention just a small story about this. Musaylama Kadhab, he is the one who actually started saying he was a messenger of Allah in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when he passed away, now this is the time they started gathering more and more tribes around him. So Wahshi, one of the Muslim radiallahu an, the one who actually killed Hamza radiallahu an in Uhud, he's the one who went along with Khalid bin Walid, who was the commander of the army. And he is the one who threw the spear, and that hit Musaylama and came through. But the report mentions that then Abu Dujana, he saw Musaylama, and he went forward and he finished him. Now, whoever whoever's hand he got killed, Wahshi used to say that he, in the Jahiliyyah, he killed the best. And after he became a Muslim, and he hoped that that would take away the burden of him, which is he killed the worst as well, which was Musaylama. And he says, if he's the one, because of the spear that he threw, he got killed. Now, so Musaylama al-Kazab's army, Musaylama the liar, his army was defeated as well. But Muslims, actually, they lost a lot of about 500 or 600 Muslims at that time, and there were a lot of people who got the shahada at that time were Huffaz. And when they came back, there was some sort of a wisdom for them that if the Sahaba, because they were gonna go into battlefield later on more, if they start losing, those Sahaba who were the Huffaz, they might lose the Quran. So upon which he consulted Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and they came to the agreement that we have to collect the Quran. And Umar went to Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, and as the reports mentioned, he was about 21 years old. Even though he was 21 at that time, he was one of the Katibin al-Wahi as well, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed. Katibin al-Wahi means the one who were assigned by Rasulullah to write the Quran when it was getting revealed. Yes. Zayd bin Thabit, I'm sorry. Not Hassan. Zayd bin Thabit. Jazakallah khair. So Zayd bin Thabit was a very young man, 21 years old. And he, when it was mentioned to him that this is the job you have to do, first, right away, his concern was, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do this, why should we do this? And when Umar and Abu Bakr, they insisted on this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his heart, and he agreed to do this job. But he said, it would have been much easier for him if he was ordered to move the mountain than to do this job. Because he knew how big of a task it is. The whole Islam, basically, rested on this message that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was his job, to collect the Quran. And the way it was collected, so it is all the especially the young guys here, I like them to understand and pay attention here. The way the Quran was collected, there was no doubt left that it is the same Quran that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was collected, and there was nothing missing. And I'll explain to you shortly that how it was collected. There were a few things Zayd bin Thabit, he put in place, which was the people who wrote the Quran in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those katibin wahid, the one who was the writers or the transcribers of the Quran at that time in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had to bring those, whether it was a leaf or a piece of skin or a tablet or a stone or a piece of a bone and so on and on, whatever it was written, they had to bring it with two witnesses. With two witnesses that it was from them. And on top of it, Sahaba memorized the Quran as well. Many of them were Huffaz also. And all those things were kept in mind when they were taking those pieces of the Quran from them and they compiled into one Mus'haf. Now, this was done in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq. So this is another one of the huge accomplishments of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that in his time the Quran was compiled. So look, it's not that the Quran was written in the time of Abu Bakr. To be very clear about this, Quran was written in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his presence. It was put together as one, and the way it was placed together, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to mention whenever an ayah was revealed, which part of the surah or the chapter this ayah should be, and he is the one who dictated where those ayah should be placed. Okay, so all these things were through the wahi. So it's not that like some of the people might try to say that as if the Quran was written later on in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. No, it was written in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was no disagreement about that. The Quran that was compiled or collected at that time, it was the same Quran that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no disagreement among the Sahaba. There was a consensus as well. There was a ijma' among the Sahaba. Okay. Now, in the time of Abu Bakr, there are, as I mentioned, there were a lot of internal issues were happening that he was taking care of. But at the same time, once he took care of the Murtaddin, whether they were Zakah or the one who were coming under the leadership of those false prophets, or the one who were rejecting the Zakah or rejecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet or Islam as a whole. Once he took care of them, he continued the expansion of Islam, and it went in various directions. Then, and he was a very well aware person, Abu Bakr Siddiq, about the whereabouts of where he was sending the armies and how he was sending armies, and he was aware of the strength of the enemies whenever he was sending an army. So it is almost impossible for me to go over all those expeditions that happened in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But just want to make this point clear. He continued the expansion of Islam that was started by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then it was handed over to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. So, but the expansion process already started very rapidly, even the time of Abu Bakr, which was very short. If you really think about it, it was only 2 years or a few months that he stayed as a Khalifa. But his keen knowledge about Islam, his firasa, if you want to call it, I don't know how to translate the word firasa now. Intuitiveness, probably. And we will see that later on when he selected Umar bin Khattab also, that how intuitive he was, how much knowledge he had about the people. So, during his time, Muslim armies, they were fighting in parallel, even at that time, against both the superpowers. They include the Persians and the Romans. And it continued to expand. And then in about the 13th year of the Hijrah, 2 years and about a couple of months after he became the Khalifa, after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, he fell sick. And he was, he felt that this is the time for him to go. Now, he gathered the Sahaba, and he wanted to say, he mentioned that he cannot continue to be the Khalifa. They should go and choose somebody. And Sahaba, they insisted on Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr said, you go and do by yourself. When they continued to insist, then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he called up Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and he asked him about Umar radiallahu anhu. He asked him, what do you think about Umar? And Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu said, in regards to what you are asking me about, you know better than me. He said, you know better about him. You have more knowledge than I do. But he said, but you tell me. Abu Bakr still said, you tell me about him. He said, by Allah, that he is better than what you think. He's talking about Umar radiallahu anhu. After that, Abu Bakr asked Uthman to come. And he asked the very same question to him again. What do you think of Umar? Because he was thinking of Umar to be the next person who should be the Khalifa. Now, Uthman said the very same thing, that you know more about him than any of us. And he said, again he said, but if still, what do you think? So he said, oh Allah, by Allah, what I know about him is that his secret private life is better than his open public life. Talking about Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Meaning, people were already aware that Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was a very strong man. And but he wanted to make sure that he understand that people think of him as a strong man and more knowledgeable about Islam. But actually, what in his private life, he's better than what the people think of him. And similarly, he asked Ali radiallahu anhu, and Ali's response was similar about Umar. Only person who had a different opinion about this, when Abu Bakr was inquiring about him, was Talha bin Ubaidullah. And he said to him, and it's a very interesting way, the way he said, what are you going to tell Allah who you're leaving behind you? You know about the harshness of Umar. And Abu Bakr's response was, first he said was, he will respond to Allah that he picked the best that he knew. And he said also that, and I'm rephrasing here, and he said about Umar al-Khattab that he said, the reason what you see in Umar now is because Umar knows of Abu Bakr that he is soft. He said the burden of this will make him soft. And this is what I was talking about. I was looking for the word, the meaning of the word firasa. How Abu Bakr was well aware of the personality of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. What he can offer or what he can do to Umar. And we, inshallah, hopefully not me, somebody will cover Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu later, then we will realize the personality of Umar as well. But, and then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, because they were keep asking the Muslims to nominate somebody. And Abu Bakr nominated Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu as the next Khalifa. But to be clear, to understand this, a Khalifa cannot, and by the way, he was very clear about this, that he is not choosing anybody from his family, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He chose the best. And he said, to be clear about this issue of nomination, he nominated Umar bin Khattab, but he was still had to take the bay'ah from the Muslimin. Muslims were the one who selected or elected him as the Khalifa later on. So they had to give the bay'ah. So Umar could not become the Khalifa, or he did not become the Khalifa just by the nomination of Abu Bakr. He became the Khalifa by the bay'ah that was given to him by the Muslims at that time. Okay? And Abu Bakr became, when he was sick, he asked Aisha radiallahu anha about what he was basically mentioning her, what he should be covered when he passes away. And first he asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he was covered with, and she mentioned that he was covered with 3 pieces of the cloth. And he asked for the same thing, but the one he had was a used material. And Aisha said, we should get you the new material. And he said, the new material is for the living who are there. They rather have it than him. And when and also he ordered that go and evaluate the amount of wealth he had before he became Khalifa. Before he became Khalifa. And anything in excess to that should be given back. And there was only one slave he had which was extra than the wealth he had before. And when he asked them to be returned, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, Ya Abu Bakr, you are creating a personality to be a Khalifa, very difficult to be emulated. The next generations that will come, it will be very tough for them to follow you. This is the way Abu Bakr was. Not only this, when Abu Bakr became Khalifa, and this part I happen to did not mention, even though he became Khalifa, he was going to work. He was going to market. Abu Bakr, Umar said, where are you going? Where are you heading? There's a woman waiting outside Abu Bakr's house because he's not there. He went to market and she's waiting because he will come back and make a decision for her. So he went to market. He said, what are you doing? He said, he has to work for his family. Then he said, no, you don't. And he got Abdurrahman bin Auf and Ali. Ali was the one who was... these Sahaba, they gathered and they said, okay, we have to give him some sort of stipend. And they asked for the stipend and they gave him first one sheep per day without the head, without the feet and the inside parts, and which was, you can think of it, probably half of the sheep, and about 250 dinar per year. After a while, they realized Abu Bakr had a bigger family, he was feeding, and that was not sufficient. So he said, he's going back to work again, because that was not enough. Now, they said, okay, we'll increase. So he said, how much you want? So they said, he wants a whole full sheep per day, and 300 dinar per year. Now, the reason I'm bringing this story from the beginning again, because one of the reports says, when he was on his deathbed, he asked to... take the amount from his wealth that he had and give it back, whatever he has used in the time when he was Khalifa, back to Baitul Mal. This is why Umar was saying, you are making it very difficult for the next leaders who will be coming for the Sunnah to emulate you. And that shows, and you can compare that with today's leaders, unfortunately, what we have. You don't find anything nowhere close to what those leaders were. Because there's only one thing that was driving them. And that was the love of Allah and His Messenger. And the one that thing that was stopping them to involve in anything was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed away, he was buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked for the permission from Aisha radiallahu anhu, who was the daughter of Abu Bakr.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about IslamPodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts On Current Events, Islamic Guidance, Quran Tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com, as well as rate, review, of iTunes.